If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. So, review. We get the review. Every week there's a review. 2 Corinthians is written with great emotion to a church that he ministered to that was in chaos. Do you remember that 2 Corinthians was written about 1 year after 1 Corinthians? And 1 Corinthians addressed many problems that existed in the church of Corinth. Remember, there was carnal divisiveness. You might remember some of these words. Carnal divisiveness, moral issues were not addressed, lifestyle disagreements, problems at the Lord's table, spiritual gift issues. The church was just a plethora of mess. And Paul dealt with all of those things head on. And he left Corinth, and he then wrote a second letter. It was called the Lost Letter. And that letter was written to correct false teaching and false apostles that had come through. He heard that things were out of order, and he wrote a second letter, a scathing letter that was lost, okay? Now, he was waiting for Titus in Macedonia to bring him information about the lost letter and the effect it had on the people. When he finally found Titus, he realized that the letter was received, but there was still an undercurrent of rebellion within the church. So there was a lot of joy that he had made some inroads, but he was still dealing with smoldering residual attitudes. Now, do you think that happens? Little smoldering attitudes that are just kind of simmering under the surface? You bet, that happens all the time. Now, it was written, remember we talk about is written in three sections, ministry, money, and motives. But his ministry section was really to defend his apostleship and to really address the false teaching. He was also written to take the collection to Jerusalem. It was written about money. It was also written to contend with the false teachers head on, his motives for ministry, head on dealing with the false teachers. And he wanted to deal with the rebellious attitudes that still existed, still smoldered within that body. Now, last week, we talked about veiled minds and veiled hearts and how the God of this age has blinded people to the truth of the gospel. And I have some questions for you to see how you do on this little quiz. Question number one, whose minds are veiled? Everyone's mind is veiled. That's right. That was good. That was a good job. All mankind. Question number two, who removes the veil? Jesus removes the veil. How do we know that? Verse 14 from last week. Let's read it. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, speaking about the Jews having blinded eyes, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Jesus removes the veil from the Jew, and Jesus removes the veil from the Gentile. Jesus removes the veil from everyone so they can see the truth of who God is. Okay? So, what is the person's part in this? Well, the person part is in verse 16 from last week, and that is to turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, once you turn to the Lord, then you are going to live a transformed life. And we talked about sanctification. We talked about sanctification having two aspects. Positional sanctification, where at the time that you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are set apart unto Him. You are His. You belong to Him. But then there's progressive sanctification. Verse 18 explains it this way. But we all with unveiled face. When our faces are unveiled, we are believers. We're no longer blinded. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed. Now what does that mean? I'm not the same person that I was. I'm being transformed into a different person from the inside out. From glory to glory. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. There's a transformation that takes place. God doesn't save someone to stay the same. Do you hear that? God does not save someone to stay the same. It is a progression. It is from glory to glory to glory. So, this week we're going to be talking about those who are transformed. Those who have the veil removed will have and demonstrate characteristics of genuine ministry. Now hear this. Ministry isn't just what I do. Ministry is genuine in your home, moms to children, husbands to wives to husbands. That's a ministry. That's a ministry. You can have a prayer ministry. You can have something behind the scenes that no one ever sees. But He calls you to some sort of ministry that you will be involved in. If you are born again of the Spirit, no one is set aside to do their own thing. Okay? Just take that word, my own thing, out of your vocabulary. You are doing Jesus' thing after you become part of His family. So that's the truth, and that's what we're going to be going through today. We are saved to serve, not to sit. Saved to serve and not to sit. Hey, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us to study the precious Word of the living God. Thank You that You have spoken to Your people through Your Word. You have given us accurate information about Yourself. And may we not just be hearers of what we hear today, but doers put into effect. Thank You for this time. Holy Spirit, do Your work in each one of our hearts today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 1, genuine ministry, this will be a characteristic of genuine ministry. I don't care where it is, whether it's in the church, whether it's the husband to wife, you have a ministry at your job to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. It's wherever you go, that is where your ministry is. It just isn't segmented, isolated things like Sunday school teacher or pastor teacher or home group leader or worship leader. That's what we think about with ministry. That's not it. We are all involved in ministry full-time. There's no such thing as, well, he's full-time, but I'm not full. You know, we're all full-time representatives. You're going to school. You're a full-time minister of the Lord Jesus, a full-time minister. So genuine ministry, number one characteristic is this, will not give up. Verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now that lose heart is the word ekkakeo. You can say it. And it denotes cowardness and faint-heartedness. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a strong word? Losing heart, dropping out, quitting from what God has called you to do is viewed as cowardness and faint-heartedness. We receive mercy, as the verse says. We have received mercy. We have received the compassion and help of Almighty God. He's given us an eternal gift of life. And now we have a responsibility to be a minister in some venue. Okay? I'm not going to be the same dad as I was before I got saved. I'm going to be different. My priorities are different. My priorities are no longer me playing on the softball team and leaving my wife and kids at home. Okay? My priority is going to be all different at work. It's not going to be all about me. I'm representing Him in the workplace. In the body of Christ, I'm going to find some place to serve. Okay? It's all about finding where you're going to serve Him. By the way, ministry is a privilege. It isn't, I have to minister today. We're going to do ministry. Like you got the sore throat, a strep throat or something, you know? So, those who receive mercy, we who minister, are encouraged not to lose heart, not to surrender, not to quit. Those are strong words. Now, he's writing this for a reason. Now, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Because it is easy to drop out. It is easy to drop out. And the encouragement constantly of Scripture is not to drop out, not to lose heart, not to express cowardness in your character. That's what it is. Hebrews 10, 36. But I want to start with verse 32 just to set the stage. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated. Oh, there was a time when you were illuminated. That is photizo, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. And that word means given light. The believer is given light that allows them to see, they have the veil removed, the gospel, the truth of the gospel. So that has happened. You endured a great struggle with suffering. So that's the context, struggle, suffering. We're born again of the Spirit, and you know what this journey is like. Sometimes it's a great mountaintop experience. Sometimes things are just clicking on all eight. Well, we have four cylinders now. Four cylinders. It's all working, okay? And then sometimes things aren't so hot. That's just the way life is. That's the truth of it. A great struggle with sufferings. Now pick it up in verse 36 because this is how he encourages us to go ahead. For you have need of endurance. That means to persevere. Endurance, to persevere. That word, just so you know that, is hupomone. Hupomone. And it means patient endurance with circumstances. Now you think you haven't had trouble with circumstances? You have had hupomone. You need to endure through the circumstances of life. You need to persevere. You need to endure. Now there's another word, macrothumia, which means patient with people. Now God does both of these in the believer. Both of them are a process. Believe me, you're not going to be patient with everything that comes down the pike, and you're not going to be patient with people all the time. This is a process. That is why it's from glory to glory. That's why sanctification is a process of growth. So we are called to endure. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now notice the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. What does that tell me? When I'm going through the crud, when I'm going through the situations where I have to persevere, hupomone, be patient with the conditions that I'm living in. I want to have a vertical look at my life and say, Lord, I know that you're in this, and I know that you're coming for me, and I know I can make it. Because you are in me, and I don't care how bad this thing gets, you're going to take me through. And I'll tell you, when he takes you through, he brings you through on the other side stronger and full of joy. No matter what happens, you can be a joy-filled Christian. That's what he promises you. Now, the just shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by faith in the NIV. For if anyone draws back or shrinks back, aren't there strong words? If anyone, my soul has no pleasure in him, or I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back or draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So why do people lose heart? Why do people shrink back? Why do people quit? Well, there's three reasons that I can think of. Well, multiple reasons, but I just sum it up this way. First of all, suffering. Why in the world am I going through this, God? This isn't fair. Why did I get this? Suffering. It happens. Most people, when they experience something, they'll go, where are you, God, and why me? You know, that's the attitude. And we have to get past that. We have to realize that we are in fallen bodies and fallen situations, and suffering is part of the walk on this side. That's facts. Disappointments. How about that one? When people are disappointed with other people, with other situations, this isn't working out the way I thought it was going to work out. And how about the unexpected? When you get blindsided by something, you go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. The unexpected can be a reason for someone to shrink or to draw back. Now, listen to this. John Mark went with the Apostle Paul on the first missionary journey, Acts chapter 13, verse 13. Now, he faced a journey that was much different than what he thought he was going on. I can imagine when he and Barnabas were talking about taking John Mark. And John Mark goes, can I go? Just like a kid. Can I go? Oh, please let me go. Okay, you can go, and we're going to go. So they started on the trip. You know what their trip was like? It was long. It's not an ocean liner with all the food you can eat. It's a trip, you know, and all the sun. And all, yeah, they started in Cyprus. They sailed to Salamis. They went from there to Paphos. They met a false prophet, Bar-Jesus. And so there was conflict there that Paul took authority over. They went from there to Perga. And then John Mark says, hey, this isn't what I bought into. This is way different than what I ever thought it was going to be. And he left them. He departed. This is not what I expected. Now please, those who are truly called, those who are illuminated and believe the gospel, will meet obstacles. You have to realize that. Now, where are those obstacles? Where are they going to be? I'm called to a church. Okay, I'm called to be a Sunday school teacher. Guess what? In your Sunday school class, without fail, there's going to be some kid in there that's going to cause you some problems. That's going to be an obstacle. Now, what do a lot of teachers do? I can't handle this. I'm getting out of this. I quit. You know, all those words. You know how I know that? Because I taught the five-year-olds. I couldn't believe it. They stuck me in there. That was a misplaced spot for me, I'll tell you. And I just couldn't chirp it quick enough. This is not for me. This is not for me. This is. I know. I had an obstacle. You know, I needed help. So there are obstacles. Co-workers in ministry can be an obstacle. Changes of direction in life can be an obstacle. I don't want to be here. I don't like this job. This isn't so great for me. It's not working out. It can be an obstacle and make you want to quit. Hurt feelings. How about that one? My feelings are hurt. How often in Christendom does that happen? Like every day. Somebody in here probably has a hurt feeling. If somebody said something, did something, didn't look the right way. I mean, it just permeates us. I mean, we are the softest people. We're like marshmallows, you know, a little. Good grief, hurt feelings. I'm quitting. I'm not going there anymore because they're not loving. The principle is those filling a position are doing it because they're called to it, not because they're coerced. You're not doing it for personal glory. You're doing it because God has placed you there. For such a time as this, there's a need. For such a time as this. Any other reason than being called by God, there's going to be reasons to quit. If you're not called, you're going to be apt to quit. You're going to be apt to quit. You're going to be apt to lose heart, to shrink back. The important thing is do not lose heart. Spiritual warfare, Satan is the master manipulator. He is the author of confusion. And where does he want you as a Christian? He want, not just on the sidelines, but doesn't he want you sucking your thumb? Poor me. Yeah, that's what he wants us. Oh, poor me, Christian. I've been hurt. They're not going to ever do this to me again. So now I'm off to the side, right where he wants me, useless. Useless. That's his goal for you. That's his goal for you. Sidelined and useless, where you're not a threat. He wants you to be offended. Remember we did that teaching on offense? And they went to betrayal and all those things. He wants you offended, confused, discouraged, sidelined, and that being your greatest for Jesus' glory. Genuine ministry will not give up. Now, when you go home today, hopefully that this is indelibly imprinted in your brains, genuine ministry will not give up. Okay, let's say it together. Not give up. There we go. Okay, we will not give up. Number two, second principle is this, or second verse is this. Genuine ministry will renounce deceitful practices. They will renounce deceitful practices. Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now this is a mouthful. Genuine ministry will renounce deceitful practices. Renounce the hidden things of shame. Shame. Now what is shame? Feelings of unworthiness, dishonor. Now hear this. What are the things that cause this? There should be no hidden habitual strongholds in your life. Now believe me, we all get saved. We all come into the kingdom and the family of God with some hook in us. Satan has had some hook in each one of us. And that hook, what does he want to do? He wants to drag you back to where you were. And he's a good fisherman, isn't he? He throws the perfect bait for you to just right onto. And man, he jerks that thing and you are hooked. And that's what you want to be very careful of. Don't put yourself in positions that facilitate that type of action. Because we can think we're okay, and I can start going with these guys again, or I can go to this place again, or I can do this again, and man, the hook is in, you're jerked back, and before you know it, you're floundering like a flopping fish on the shore. You want to renounce those hidden things. Now, I am not, just say to yourself, I'm not going there. Hidden things of shame. Number two, craftiness, trickery or deception. No gimmicks in order to get results in the ministry that God has given you. Do you hear that? No gimmicks to get results. Not playing on emotions and not pandering to people's wants. We give people what they need, not what they want. Now, if I give you what you need, what is that called? Agape. That is what real love is. Giving what the person needs, not necessarily what they want. Agape love. I'm going to not fall for gimmicks. I'm not going to pander to people's needs. I'm going to give them what they need. Number three, not handling the word deceitfully. Again, he's talking about false teachers. Remember, he's addressing the ones that were accusing him of being a false apostle, talking about Paul being a false teacher. Well, now he's coming back on them talking about false teaching. Well, what are some of the things that can happen in false teaching or what people fall into? Now hear this. Mixing human tradition with the word. This happens all over Christendom, where the tradition of the local group takes precedent over what's written in the word of God. This happens all over the place, folks. All over the place. Adulterating the word. There should be no twisting or turning the text for your gain. And again, does this happen today? You bet it happens today. You bet. When tradition trumps the word, when our tradition does this, but the word says that, you know that you're an out of balance spot. Okay? Twisting the word, manipulating people. Now, one of the best ways that I've seen, or best examples of not handling the word properly, is when you see on television constantly about seed giving. Now, I believe that there's such a thing in Scripture as seed giving. Given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over into your life. I think when you give to God that he does bless his people. But there's another layer here, another level that I see people going to. And that is this pleading with you to give so you can get to have more stuff. You know, that you can, and one of the things that marks you as being blessed by God is that you have all kinds of stuff. And you have your boats and you have your planes and you have your trains and all that. To me, that is deceitful teaching. Because you take that message to the Coptic Christians in Egypt today. Tell me how that works. Tell me how that works in the little hidden church in Iraq. Tell me where that works there. No, it doesn't work. You know what works there? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, and do not quit. Do not give up. Do not give up. There's a transition in verse 2, section B. It says, but by manifestation of the truth. Manifestation of the truth. Real ministry will tell the truth. God does not wink at sin. Remember, he sees everything. He does not wink at sin. Now, what truth is hidden today? Let's go through a little list here. That God's love trumps his justice. What do I mean by that? That means everyone is saved. Everyone goes to heaven. That hell is just imagery and something that really doesn't apply to us today because it really because God loves all people. All people are going. That's false. Universalism is false. But it permeates the church, and people love to hear that message. It is a lie. It is a message of lie. That is a truth. That is a truth that is not taken today. How about this? What truth is hidden today? All lifestyles are acceptable. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, when I say all lifestyles acceptable, God has given one unit that he has endorsed, and that is the husband and wife relationship with children. Okay? That is what he's endorsed. He has not endorsed man and woman living together without being under the cover of marriage. He has not endorsed man with man or woman with woman, has he? He has not endorsed any other relationship than the husband and wife relationship under the cover of God, the marriage relationship. What do we hear today? Everything's acceptable. Do whatever you want as long as you love. Don't you see that they just love one another? That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a false view. That's a false view. How about women have the right to choose? Now, God says killing the unborn is wrong. We're living in a culture that says, yes, you can do that because they're not really real. They're not really babies. And by the way, you can kill them all the way up until the kid sticks his head out and goes, okay? If he does that, then you're going to be a murderer. So there's a fine line. You got about a few seconds period of time there before you're not real, and now you're a living being. That's not a truth. God says, in the womb I conceived you. I knew you. I knew you before you were born, came to conception. How about there's multiple paths to heaven, different religions, different ways? This is very common. God says this. There is one way, and that is through his son. Period. Period. There is one way to live, and that is what he has proscribed in his word. Period. There is no room. There's no latitude for flexing. There's no latitude for freelancing and trying this out or that out. No, it's God's way. And you know what? It just happens to work. It just happens to work. He's God, and we aren't. God, you just don't understand this. You don't understand how I'm feeling here. I really need to do this. And no, he understands. His way, he made us. He knows what is right. And remember this, God, it's God's way through his son only. And always remember that it will cost you to serve him. It's going to cost you your will and your way. It's going to cost you your rationalizing what I should be doing in this situation. Tell me, doesn't that something that humans do? Rationalize their situation? Well, certainly this is better than doing this because this makes sense to me. No, do what God says. You're going to be much better off. Much better off. The truth is this. This is the truth. God loves me, is looking out for my best. That's the truth. He is always with me. He is my provider. He is my protector. He is my way maker. He is the one that fills me with joy. When I am obedient to him, guess what happens? Things tend to work out better in my life. Is it always going to be perfect? No. But when I follow God's precepts and his ways, things tend to work out better. Now, that would be a time for an amen. Amen. That's right. We'll say that. Verse 3 and 4. Genuine ministry, your ministry, if it's genuine, will be opposed. There will be opposition to your ministry. It can happen at multiple different levels. But there's always one person that is most responsible. Verse 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Your ministry will be opposed by whom? Satan. There is a demonic realm. This thing is real. There is spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual war. And guess what? If you're walking with God, you are a threat and you are a target. Does that mean that you have to walk in fear? No. Because you are protected by God. He has promised to strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. But you have to realize that when you walk out from under God's cover, his hupa, his cover, then you are getting yourself into dangerous territory, giving license to the enemy to haptomai, clamp on to you, okay, and make your life miserable. It's like when your kid has a rag doll, or let's better than that, it's when you have a rag doll and you give it to the Doberman Pinscher. What does he do? That's the picture of us when we walk under, out from under the cover, and the Doberman Pinscher of Satan gets hold of our lives. That's our life. Just remember that. Stay under the cover. Stay under the cover. Notice who the truth is veiled to. Those who are perishing. Those who do not want the truth. Those who think they're okay. That's veiled. I'm okay. I'm a good person. I do a lot of good stuff. You're veiled. You're veiled. You're not seeing the truth. The good person crowd. How about those who think they figured it out on their own? Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Hey, we all have truth. Yeah. How about those who think buy into a worldview of my rights and my way? I have my rights. You ever hear that one? I've got my rights. I've got my rights. My rights and my way. Now, there was a song when I was younger. You couldn't guess that, could you? There was a song when I was younger, and it says this. And it's a world's theme song, and it just tickles me. It's my life, and I'll do what I want. Notice that tone? It isn't, it's my life, and I'll do what I want. It's my life, and I'll do what I want. Yeah, that's the theme song of the world. When you start thinking that way, get ready for the licking of your life. The truth is, there is a God, and you must deal with him his way and not your way. That's the truth. Now, when you are in a real, genuine ministry, remember, the God of this age is the one who blinds. People cannot see the truth. He is in control of the world, the kingdom of this world. He is the God of this age. People are blinded and need the truth of the gospel to open up their eyes. Now, the problem is, do most people believe in Satan? You think? I think most people deny that he exists, or they ignore him, or you're making too big a deal about him, or they think you're silly. You're silly. You silly, silly, stupid Christian. Silly. That you acknowledge that this is even there, because they are blinded. His goal is bondage, deception, discouragement, and defeat. Always remember that. He's not looking for your best day now. When he drops the cocaine underneath your nose and you're sniffing and you think it's your best day now, for whatever long that drug lasts, but that thing's going to wear off, and then you're into your worst nightmare ever. Until you get your next fix of whatever it could be cocaine, it could be whatever your thing is. He wants you in bondage, he wants you discouraged, he wants you defeated, he wants you out of action, folks. That is the truth. That is the truth. Man's only hope for victory against the kingdom of darkness is, verse 5, Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus the Lord. For we do not preach ourselves. Notice the humility. Jesus is the focus. But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. That's what we are. We are bondservants. Jesus has the priority. We are doing and we are living our lives in a manner that is pleasing to the Master. I'm giving everything that I have to him. It's his way, not my way. So, Paul's approach to genuine ministry was the centrality that Jesus is Lord. Kurios. K-U-R-I-O-S. Master, ruler, owner. When Jesus comes into your heart, he is not just your friend that got you out of hell. He is your Lord. He owns you. Master, ruler, owner. Kurios. That is what he is. Now, man is in one of two kingdoms. You're in the kingdom of darkness or you are in the kingdom of light. No in between, no gray land, no wavering between the two. You're in one or the other. You're in one or the other. Now, the majority of people are deceived, lost, and don't know it. Or they know it and don't care and refuse to believe. Okay, that's the majority. How do I know that? Because Jesus said something really simple. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in by it. And narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Most people you see around, most people in the world are not on their way to heaven, folks. That's the truth. There's a remnant that God works through. He always works through a few, not the majority. So when you start thinking, your worldview starts thinking like CNN and Fox News, check yourself. Check yourself. He works through a remnant that views things differently than the world. That is the truth. Centrality, that Jesus is Lord, two kingdoms, majority are deceived. Notice the humility of the victorious Christian life. We are bondservants of our Lord. Our lives are consumed with Him. Verse 6, God secures the victory. God's light shines into the darkness, secures your victory. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Notice the words here. Notice the words, commanded. This is the creation. This is God commanding, let there be light, and there was light. This is God in heaven commanding, stating something, and it was done just like He said. No ifs, ands, or buts. No, I don't want it to be light today. It was light. He said light. Boom. Now notice what happens. That happened at creation. It also happens in your heart. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Those in genuine ministry rejoice for what God has done in their hearts. At creation, God said again,